You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and today we are joined by Greg Mott, who is the author of a new book called Unstoppable Gospel, Living Out the World-Changing Vision of Jesus' First Followers. We want to encourage you, as we always do, to understand the gospel, but also to understand your commission from the Lord to go and share this good news with your own community, as we always do, to encourage you. If you've been blessed, you have an opportunity to be a blessing to those around you. And we are certainly blessed today to have Greg Mott with us. Greg, thank you so much for being a part of our program.
My joy. I'm glad to be with you guys.
Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about yourself? You're a pastor there in Texas, so you got a whole plethora of Christian communities surrounding you, I'm sure. But yeah, you're also in the Bible Belt. So tell us a little bit about you, your passion, and what drove you to write this book.
Yeah, well, you know, I, even though we are very much in the Bible Belt, I didn't grow up going to church, didn't know the Lord until I was 16. My testimony is one of those that I went off with the wrong crowd doing the wrong things, and God, you know, grabbed me and got me, and I was sacking groceries at a grocery store, and the checker was a Christian, and she just started telling me about Jesus, and I had questions about God and Jesus, and I prayed and received Christ with her youth minister later on that week and put my faith in Jesus. And so that's how it all started. And a neat part of that story too, Adam, is now the guy that led me to Christ, her youth minister, is actually a member of our church. So the guy that led me to Christ, I'm now his pastor, if you can believe that, which is just a great, great thing. And he's still a good friend. So I went from there to Texas A&M and decided to start a Bible study. I was a marketing major. Started a Bible study in my apartment with about 12 people. Fast forward now 26 years, it's still going on, and it happened Tuesday night. Somebody else is leading it, and there was about 10,000 students in the basketball stadium. So an absolute growth. When I left, it was about 5,000 or 6,000, and I came to First Baptist Houston here to be the pastor. Had never pastored before, so I jumped into the deep end of the pool, and the church is a loving, great church, and we have just been on a rocket ride over the last 12 years that I've been here as the pastor, and it's been a lot of fun to see. So that's been the background of the seeds of this book, is I've seen the gospel explode in Breakaway at Texas A&M, to go from a handful of people in an apartment to the basketball stadium, to see our church really do some great mission work, even helping plant churches in your area in New England. And so it's just amazing. So from that got this seed in me of the book of Acts. So I started teaching the book of Acts, and that resulted into this book, Unstoppable Gospel.
You know, I get the sense, even from the title itself, that what you're showing is not the power of the person sharing the gospel, but the message itself. This is really the core of what we see in the book of Acts, is the gospel is going forth, and it's remarkable to see how it's taking an effect on people's lives. And sometimes it seems even outside of our own selves.
It does. You know, I mean, you look at Acts and you look at how this is supposed to work, and it's really available people and powerful prayer. Those two things are what are the gasoline and fire of the gospel going forward. And so it's not personality. It's not, you know, how astute you are in the scriptures, or how cool you are, or how much money you have, or whatever. It's available people. Lord, here I am, send me. And powerful prayer. Lord, please do your will through me. And when those two things happen, that's what you see in the book of Acts. You know, they were ordinary, unschooled men, but they could tell that they had been with Jesus, is what it says in Acts 4. And that's the power, and that's what's so great. That's true in Texas, where I'm sure your New England listeners think, man, they've got a church on every corner, and a lot of times we do. And that's true, and you know, it's great, but at the same time, that's not going to do it. And, you know, for even the most discouraged person, just say to the Lord today, I'm available, I'm here, open doors for me to love people, to care for them, to share with them. And God, I want to pray that you would do something great, and I want to see that. And when those things happen, you've unleashed the unstoppable gospel.
What is it that causes people to lose their confidence in the commission to share the gospel? We don't lose the eternal security, our own confidence in the gospel, but the confidence that communicating it will have that effect on other people's lives. What causes us to lose sight of its power?
You know, there's a lot of reasons, but I think one thing is people think they're going to mess it up. That somehow if somebody asks me a question or if I open the door, I'm going to get down a road that I don't know enough, I'm not sure. And I have just had a phrase in my life that I just say, I don't know, but I'll find out. And then I do a little bit more study. And that happens a lot as a pastor. People think I know everything about, you know, the scriptures and such. And I don't. So I have to be humble enough to say, you know what? I don't know, but I'll find out for you. And so I would just want to free the listeners from feeling like you're going to mess it up. You're not going to mess it up. It might not go as smooth as what it looks like in a Christian movie, you know, and in 32 seconds they drop to their knees and pray and receive Christ, you know. But if you love them and care for them and build that relationship, it's really not up to you. And so the pressure's off of us. And so if we'll just take the opportunity to share, then that'll make a big difference. So, you know, there's many reasons, but I think one of the reasons is people are just afraid they're going to mess things up.
I think it's very true that we're kind of intimidated about how to go about it, how to say the right things. But I can attest, as you just said, that when you're working through sharing your faith, you're also seeing the power of the Spirit to bring things to mind that you hadn't thought about But you've got to start by opening your mouth. You just have to start by making those opportunities to share your faith, and then you start to see all these other things that really boost your confidence once you start getting into it.
Yes, and you know, it doesn't have to be awkward. You know, it doesn't have to be that you walk up to every person in the aisle in the grocery store and say, you know, I noticed you bought Cheerios. Do you know Jesus? You know, I mean, you don't have to have some kind of unusual segue. But what I do is I just am always trying to open the conversation up to a different level, even with friends that don't know the Lord, and just say, you know, man, how are things going? And if you ask somebody how are things going in a heartfelt enough way, they're going to share something that's hard. And you can say, you know, what are your thoughts about God being involved in that situation? What are your thoughts about Jesus? What's your spiritual journey? And ask some questions more than sit down and going, hey, I've noticed you're a lost person and I want to tell you about Jesus, and let me, in 10 minutes, you know, preach to you. So I think that openness in the book, one of the chapters I talk about is prayer, care, share is the right order. And you see that in Acts. They're praying, they're caring for one another, and then they're sharing with one another. And I think that gives us a little bit of a roadmap. If we could be praying for John Doe in our neighborhood and then find an opportunity to care for John Doe in our neighborhood, then share with them. That's different than we're just going to walk by and knock on their door and see if they'll let us sit down for 30 minutes. So prayer, care, share is one of the chapters that I have in this book, Unstoppable Gospel, that helps give a roadmap of how to build that bridge with people.
I like the idea of building bridges, because a lot of what we're talking about when we're sharing the gospel is just natural conversations that you would have with any person that you were starting a conversation, but thinking consciously, how can I steer this towards the most important issues of how can I steer this towards the gospel in a natural way? That's really kind of the best way to go about this. If you go with a canned approach, you're often going to hit a bunch of roadblocks, aren't you?
Yeah, you sure can. And man, we it's great to be trained, no question, but you've also got to be flexible to find out where it's going. A couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I met a guy here at our church that he had been just kind of popping in, popping out, and I gave him my card. Well, this is 6 months ago, I gave him my card. We put it in his wallet. Well, 3 weeks ago, he had a question about one of his children, and he saw my card. He had put my card in a important place in his wallet, he said. He puts his important cards there, and he kept it, and he saw it. So God drew him back to this card. He called me and asked me kind of how do I find God's will in a parenting decision. And I said, well, man, I'm free for lunch. Why don't we grab lunch? Well, long story short, I end up leading him to Christ at lunch. And I utilized this heart of a dad that, not manipulated, but just I knew what he really needed, heart of a dad wanting to make a good decision in parenting. And then we talked about what that means to follow God's will. Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? Are you sure? He had a spiritual background, but had never come to know Christ. So he prays and receives Christ. And Adam, when we stop, when we end the prayer, he's got tears streaming down his face. And we've been text messaging almost daily the last few weeks about just, you know, him walking with the Lord, challenges of his faith, me encouraging him. And that gives you an example of, I didn't put my crosshairs on him and go after him for a salvation project. I was ready and available, open to him, kind to him 6 months ago, and God opened the door through the heart of a parent, and there we were. And that's how the unstoppable gospel keeps rolling.
You know, it's kind of funny because a lot of books that are written in an evangelistic bent come from people who are very energetic and very extroverted. And it, for someone like myself, who's very introverted, it always kind of, this person can have conversations so naturally and do all these things, and they're yelling at me and telling me I need to do better at witnessing. You know, New England, I think of New England as this big area of collective introverts, because we don't like to talk about our faith, and we're kind of diminished by the idea of secular humanism and political correctness. But this book isn't about that. It's not beating people over the head. It's showing people that the gospel is the power. The gospel is the thing that goes forward, despite your fears and your inabilities. The gospel will go forth, correct?
Right. That's exactly right. And you know what? What I was trying to do in the book is tell a little bit of a story of our church, of what's happened here as we've gone through the Book of Acts, and look at the Book of Acts as our roadmap. And so that's what we do in the Book of Acts. You end up with the very beginning. You've got a small group of people that are very afraid, and they're hiding out. And so then we have Pentecost, obviously, that happens with the Holy Spirit coming. It turns into a bigger group, and on it goes until finally this small little group of people that are afraid, and that the Romans are coming after them too. At the end of Acts, it says, "And this gospel went forth unhindered," which is where I get the phrase unstoppable. And that's what can happen. Now, how did that happen? Through prayer, through care, and through share. Those are the things that happen, and that is not connected to any personality. I'm an extrovert. I'm type A, which means I can be intimidating sometimes in conversations. I can push too hard in conversations. But what we need is type B introverts to invite folks to come to church, to say, can I help you? Can I listen to you? What's going on? And so it really takes all of us in the body of Christ, and I agree with you. I think we've made evangelism the extrovert, talkative people's gift, and hospitality and service the quieter, less talkative people's gifts. And that's really not true. I'm to serve even though I talk too much, you know? And somebody that's an introvert, they're to share even though they maybe don't talk as much. So it's got to be all together, and we can definitely get intimidated in this culture. It's a scary culture. Of, you know, people will bully you into being quiet about who you really are, you know, and that's a definite thing that's difficult.
Tell us a little bit about how this study of the Book of Acts affected not only you but your church as you saw the power of the gospel working forth. Because I see the same thing when I read through the Book of Acts, and I'm always encouraged to see that despite all of the barriers that we seem to have in our culture to share our faith, the gospel just keeps breaking down walls.
Yes, it does. But you know, Acts is descriptive, not prescriptive, so we don't need to get discouraged that we shared and 3,000 people didn't, you know, hear it in their own language, you know, type thing. I mean, it's a descriptive thing. So what it does is it gives us encouragement of this is what God can do with available, prayerful people. And in our own church, what it did is it kind of woke us up of going, wow, this gospel goes from Jerusalem, which we called our city, to Judea and Samaria, which was our state and our nation, and then in our context, and then the uttermost parts of the world. So we actually got around this thing of Acts 1:8 that I just quoted, and we called it Mission 1:8, and we raised a ton of money to be able, from our church, to say we want to do some amazing things. So one of the things we did is we picked out three areas of the country that we were going to give money to help church planting, and you'll be glad to know one of those areas was New England. So in Rhode Island, in Massachusetts, and some other places in New England. We helped with churches up there that either already existed, and we were giving and going. We'd give money, and we'd send people and teams up there. We also did that in San Francisco, and we did that in New York City. Around the world, we did it in East Asia, in Rio, and in Madrid. And then here in our city, we planted some multi-site campuses. And so we tried to obey Acts 1-8 with our city, nation, and world of planting churches. And our people, Adam, were so excited about it, they overgave past the amount we were trying to raise because they saw this as a missional thing, and they were hearing about the book of Acts. And so we just absolutely love what God's done through that. So it's inspirational. It's biographical and therefore inspirational to see what's happening in the book of Acts, and then we're able to take from it. And our church was radically changed. And I would encourage folks, you know, one of the reasons I wrote the book is for them to be encouraged in their own church to see what God can do. Now, the numbers that happened in our church in Houston, Texas, in the middle of the Bible Belt may be different than what happens in Providence, Rhode Island. You might have to take a couple zeros off the end of the deal. But that's okay. It's still God's work. And at the same time, it may surpass what happens in Texas. You know, so who knows what God can do?
You know, I think this is a remarkable principle that when we're learning something true in the scriptures, and when we're putting it to work and we're actually seeing it in its place, it has an ability to ingratiate even deeper into our core and our being. And especially when it comes to the book of Acts, I remember studying the book of Acts when I was in Bible college and we were on a ministry team, and you started to see that the things that were you're studying are taking place out in the field when you're working to reach the lost. When the two go together, it is a remarkable thing to see what God can do.
It is. It's amazing. If you're open and willing, you just go for it. You know, one of the things I try to do is if I'm at a restaurant and the waiter comes up, say it's me and my wife or me and a friend or whatever that's a believer or whatever, I'll say to the waiter, I'll say, you know, hey, we're about to bless the food and say a blessing over the food. And before we do, is there anything that we can pray for you about? Anybody sick in your family? Anything going on? Any struggles you have? And they look at you kind of first like, what in the world are they talking about? Then they see, wait, you're going to pray for my grandmother who's sick that I just got a phone call about, you know, or my job. A lot of times waiters and waitresses are really struggling financially. And then if they say, no, nothing, I go, okay, no problem. Then we'll just pray you have a great day. Okay, thanks. And then we'll bow our heads and pray right there. And I just trust that it's a seed planted. So to your point, you see it live and in action on the field of what God's doing. And that makes a huge difference. And that's what we want to be. We want to be active in it. And Acts is such an inspirational book. Even in my own personal quiet times, I've gone back. I'm reading the book of Acts right now again. I'm in chapter 11 this morning that I read. And it's been great. You know, obviously, when you write a book on Acts, I was so deep into Acts for so long, I didn't want to ever read it again. You know, by the time the book was over, but you know, but now I'm coming back around. I'm like, you know what? I need to be re-inspired on this. So it's good. So I hope that my book can really point people to the book. You know, my book's not the book on Acts. The book of on Acts is Acts. But sometimes putting it into today's illustrations and thought can help us to see more clearly what's going on in this biblical book.
You talk about the different narrative that's going on here in the book of Acts, and we see all of these great stories and what God is doing. What do you credit this great insurgence to the church to? I mean, where do we see, what is the main theme throughout the book of Acts that we're seeing taking place throughout all of these stories?
Yeah, you're seeing in there a people who are in need, which I would say today in our country, we have a lot of questions and a lot of needs. And I think we're all realizing, you know, statistically, this presidential election, nobody's fired up about either candidate. I mean, just statistically, if you look at it, they're not like, oh, man, we've been waiting our whole life for one of these two people. So we're coming to the realization that government is not the answer, you know. So we've got a needy people in the book of Acts and in our society. Then you have a filled people that are the believers, the disciples, and they're showing up and they're able to say, you know, how can we can't stop speaking about what we've seen and heard. So you got a needy people with a filled people coming together that's pointing to who the filling is, and that's the Lord, that's Christ. So I think, you know, the fields are wide unto harvest, but the laborers are few. So it's us seeing the laborers go out in the book of Acts, city to city, town to town, you know, synagogue to synagogue for Paul. Then there, we're seeing the harvest. But if we don't go out in the field, we're never going to see the harvest. And we've kind of cloistered ourselves a bit as believers to say, well, let's stay away from all the things of the world. And instead, let's step out into it. I'll give you an example from my own life. My son started ninth grade, you know, 2 weeks ago, and there's a lot of great Christian schools in Houston, and we have some connections with a couple of them. Well, we felt like the Lord was leading us to go to a big public school, 3,000 kids. He's come from the church school that we have here at our church that had 30 kids in his class. Now he's got 600 kids in his freshman class. And he said to me the other day, he said, what's amazing is there's a ministry moment every moment, you know? And it was great. And I'm all for private school. We have a private school here at our church. I'm all for it. It goes through eighth grade. But I at the same time, we took the risk of, you know, stepping out there. And when we did, he's seen the ministry moments that are out there. And that's a little bit of the book of Acts being lived out. You just got to get out there, get to the marketplace, get to the Agora, get to Mars Hill, and it'll ready for your mouth to open, and it'll work out. God will open the doors, and then you step through them.
It seems that people are really excited when we start to hear sermons and teaching on this subject. If, you know, you write a book, it's going to get a lot of people to read it, because we want to see these changes. We are desperate for change to take place in our culture even today. And yet when you have a sign-up sheet for people that are ready to actually go out and do some one-on-one evangelism, some street evangelism, you pass that around and it may only get one or two signatures.
Yeah.
Is there a misplaced idea? Do we really believe this? Is it just something that we have kind of have there that's now been tickling our ears? Or do we actually believe in the power of this unstoppable gospel?
Yeah, I think we've so personalized it, we're unable to transfer it in a lot of ways. Jesus is our quiet time moment to get a cup of coffee and read the Bible by ourselves in our easy chair. It's our prayer moment in our prayer closet. It's our pain moment that's in our heart. And we've so personalized our faith that we're not transferring it. Now, I'm all for the personalization of your faith, no question. But there's also a transference that needs to happen. And I think if people take opportunities to, you know, receive training if they need to from their church, if they feel like they need some rails to run on, that's great. And really to see it as an as-you-go type thing. We say with our students here at church, as we go, and that's a shortening of a sentence that we came up with a while back that says, as Christians, we help people go to heaven. And as we go, and that encapsulates a lot. As Christians, that's my primary identity, is a Christian. We help people, now I'm serving, go to heaven sharing the gospel. You know, so it doesn't just end with we help people. You know, we can give everybody a cup of cold water, but we got to give it in Jesus' name to really make that eternity happen. Because if it's just having your needs satisfied, then suburban America is heaven on earth and everything's perfect. But we know that's not true. So we've got to see our primary identity in Christ, love people well, and then also share the eternally significant gospel. This has eternal ramifications, and we need to be able to share that.
What do you want people to know about the gospel by reading your book?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that it's powerful on its own. It's not looking for you to add power to it. It is powerful. It is the power of God unto salvation. And so we've got this amazing treasure in jars of clay, and we don't have to stop being jars of clay. It's okay. That God knows. He's mindful that we're dust. And so we've got to be able to walk these things out and to know that the power is in the gospel. And what happened in Acts can happen in America. And we can see great things happen, and we all want that. So be encouraged at what the Lord can do.
Now, I know that in the process of putting these kind of books together, when we're focusing in on the gospel, whenever we're spending time looking at the gospel, we are ourselves going to be encouraged. But you must have been extremely encouraged to look through this subject, to study the book of Acts. How did this process of preaching through the book and really writing this book, Unstoppable Gospel, give you a sense of that power in what God is doing?
It was great, Adam. Particularly the preaching. You know, I'm a speaker who writes, is what I've learned about myself, more than a writer who speaks. So it comes through me first verbally in the pulpit in our church, and that's what I hope is really good aspect about the books that I've written, is we've already tested it in the focus group of our church over a year's length of time, you know, and seen the fruit come out of it. And so when we would preach it, it was like, you know, the Mississippi River starts way north and it's like a puddle. And then by the time you get down to Louisiana and Mississippi, it is a raging river that you can put a barge on. And that's what you see in the book of Acts. You know, you see it start as this seed and turn into this movement. And that's what we saw in our church, this seed of like, huh, okay, Acts, we're going to talk about tongues and healings, and I mean, where are we going with this? And then you see this raging river of missions come through it, God's glory come through it, not just the pow and the pizzazz of Acts, but the just consistent flowing of person after person, from Paul to Peter, or Peter to Paul to Philip, all these ones coming through and seeing God use these men and women, you know, with Lydia and Ananias and Sapphira, and a bad example, you know, but seeing the things that are happening in the book of Acts, it's just an amazing thing. Priscilla and Aquila, and you see these people come through that God uses in a great way. And so that's what was so inspiring, is it got our people fired up about the fact that God can use them.
As people read your book, as they're listening to our interview, hopefully they'll pick up a copy for themselves, because it is greatly encouraging to see what God can do. What's your hope for them, especially here in New England? What's your hope for people who will hear our interview and read this book? What are you hoping will happen in and through their lives?
Yeah, well, I think two things. One, I'd hope folks in New England in particular go, wow, this is a seed that birthed in Texas that actually blessed New England. They put us on the map as one of the three places that they wanted to help plant churches. So they'd see a partnership. You know, this isn't just a Texas author that went, oh yeah, New England, sure, Red Sox, Patriots, hope they win. You know, but this is, you know, gospel that goes forward of saying, man, that New England, wait a minute, look at these statistics. This was the hotbed of Christianity in the beginning of our country. Let's do something about it. So I think that'd be number one. And then number two, that they would be encouraged that the Lord has something for them, a place for them to serve. And then three, I hope they enjoy it. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with having a good Christian book and putting it in your bag to, you know, to take to the doctor's office and read it because you like it, you know. And it's a time that you go, this is a profitable time, instead of just sitting in front of the TV and watching one more you know, political whatever or whatever this, that, but to be able to say, man, that was time well spent. I'm always tremendously humbled, Adam, that people would take the amount of time it takes to read an entire book. I'm humbled that people would choose a book that I've written to give that kind of time and attention to finish a book and read it all the way through, and I hope that they enjoy it.
We've been talking with Greg Mott, the author of Unstoppable Gospel, Living Out the World-Changing Vision of Jesus' First Followers. Greg, thank you so much for really an encouragement to fulfill the Great Commission and to go forward, as we've seen the gospel has the power to transform lives, and we can certainly see it transform a community and a culture as well.
Yes, well, thank you for letting me be on your show, and I just encourage all the folks listening in New England, God has you there for a reason. Be encouraged. He loves you. Grandparents, sit down with your grandkids and tell them about how important Jesus is. Parents, do the same with your kids. Older, teaching the younger. And younger, sit down with the olders and say, let me tell you something that's changed my life. And when you do that, you'll be blessed and you'll see an unstoppable gospel in your life and in your family.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.